There's a bit of strategy involved in the Iowa caucuses, as we learned when we called three Iowans involved with the campaigns. The first is Chuck Gifford, who will attend a caucus at the St. John's Methodist Church in Des Moines. As a retired political action director for the United Auto Workers, Chuck Gifford has been attending Iowa caucuses for decades. He's backing Richard Gephardt, the same candidate he supported in the 1988 caucuses. This week, Gifford is calling his neighbors, looking for Gephardt supporters in Precinct 87.
That's all preparation. We're trying to get as many folks to the caucus we can in support of our candidate. Yeah, that's the turmoil here. That's what's got all the dust stirred up here in the middle of winter in Iowa, is all these campaigns IDing caucus attendees.
Because the preparation is so important, is each caucus effectively won or lost before it really even begins?
I think so. Well, I know there's been some, consultation over...
Oh, goodness. Go ahead and get that phone and that dog. Wait a minute.
I know. Well, I got somebody at the front door, too, so hang on a minute.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I'm on the phone. Can you help me?
Okay. We're from Texas, and we're just...
Well, get at it. What are you doing? I'm not...
We're supporting Dean. It looks like you're supporting Gifford.
Yeah, okay, that's right. Have a good day.
Okay, you too.
Okay. I'm sorry, Steve. I got Dean people at the door.
You should have invited them in.
No. No, this goes on regularly. They're all right. They're from Texas. They're up here ringing doorbells.
I'm surprised you didn't have a Gephardt sign or something in your front yard.
She said, "Well, I see you're for Gephardt. You got yard signs out. I got a bumper sticker on my car, so they couldn't help but miss it." So, but that don't deter people. They think they're going to persuade you anyway. So.
So now I think before the interruption there, I was asking you if it was all in the preparation, if things were decided in advance.
Well, I don't know whether decided or not, because your viability here. There's a 15% what they call a viability rule here.
You must have enough people in that room to constitute 15% of the
in
vote.
In other words, just hypothetically, if you have a caucus that has 100 people in it, then you must have 15 people representing a presidential preference group.
Let's say you go in Monday night to Precinct 87, and you're going to go in there. There's going to be a number of candidates on the ballot. And let's say, just hypothetically, that in your particular precinct that John Kerry's people don't quite have 15%. Now
yeah.
They're up for grabs.
Yeah.
What kind of sales pitch are you going to be using on John Kerry's people?
Well, got to keep in mind, these are neighborhood people. And I think, for the most part, they're approachable. We can go to people and make the pitch for our candidate. And I'm sure the war will be, the relative position of these candidates on the war is going to be important to some people. NAFTA and jobs, the economy, this state is in terrible shape financially.
Let's say that in your particular precinct, hypothetically again, that your candidate, Richard Gephardt, does not get that 15%. Suddenly you, as a Gephardt supporter, are up for grabs.
Well, and I've got what we call a second choice, and in some cases there'd be a third choice. My second choice, quite frankly, would be John Edwards.
Does the Gephardt campaign give any suggestions on second choices?
No, I don't think Iowans can be led like that, and I've never saw any of that materialize where it's been productive. It's been tried in the past, and it's failed.
Chuck Gifford will be attending his 10th Iowa presidential caucus on Monday night. Ben Williams will be attending his first. He just turned 18, which makes him old enough to attend the caucus in Pocahontas, Iowa, population 1,970. Along with some of his friends at the high school, Ben Williams decided to support Howard Dean.
My class isn't very big. It's about 73 people, but 10 of them are supporting Governor Howard Dean. I know one person that's going to be supporting Edwards at the caucus.
Who's the Edwards guy?
He's one of my friends, actually. Just has a little bit different take on politics than I do.
What's
we
his name?
Don't fight or anything. Evan Engel.
From the perspective of 18-year-old high school students, what are the differences between, say, Howard Dean and John Edwards?
The reason why I chose Dean a long time ago is because he did come to my town and he gave a really passionate speech. And what many people think is his anger or whatever, I just see that he really does care about America. And he really does talk to people my age and really gives me a voice personally and makes me feel like I'm actually counted. I also had the opportunity to see Edwards speak, and I just wasn't as motivated. My friend Evan thinks that Edwards can win the South better than Dean, but... I really don't see that as a problem.
So you're going to go to this caucus. Your friend Evan, who's supporting John Edwards, is going to go to this caucus.
Yep.
And let's say, hypothetically, that Howard Dean doesn't get the 15%.
oh boy, oh, I don't see that happening. But if it did, I would have a tough time choosing a second candidate.
18-year-old Ben Williams will be attending the caucus with his parents, who are also Dean supporters. In precinct after precinct, the presidential candidates are counting on local residents to persuade their neighbors to come out on caucus night. The state director for John Kerry is John Norris, who says the campaign identified leaders in many precincts.
We've got those folks trained in the caucus rules, and they have a list of supporters in those precincts they'll be calling this weekend to encourage them to turn out and attend the caucus. They'll greet them at the door with Kerry stickers and talk to them a little bit about, you know, strategy that night. And we'll have talking points for our precinct leaders and volunteers in those precincts on John Kerry's strengths. And if there are some other candidates who are not viable, that don't reach 15% when they first break into preference groups, then they'll have talking points about why other supporters might want to go to John Kerry. Then, you know, he's got the judgment and experience and leadership.
Let's say that you're trying to persuade somebody to come over to Kerry and he just won't do it. Are your people going to try to steer him away from the front runners like Howard Dean or Dick Gephardt?
You know, we're not. I think that's overblown. It's important for people, especially that aren't from Iowa, that haven't participated in the caucuses, to realize this is a friendly gathering amongst neighbors. And we're not going to do anything that's going to anger someone. We're not equipping our folks to go to the caucuses with any kind of negative information about any other candidacy.
Now, the other scenario where your guy, John Kerry, is not viable in a particular precinct and there are a handful of his supporters standing around deciding what to do, are you advising them what to do next?
We have not made final determinations on that. We will by Sunday night, and we will get the word out in a late caucus strategy out on Sunday evening.
John Norris says that in precincts where they don't get the 15%, Kerry supporters may team up with the marooned supporters of other candidates. Together, they may be able to choose delegates who are officially uncommitted to any candidate. That undecided vote can be large in the Iowa caucuses. Back in 1976, Jimmy Carter surprised everyone by defeating his rivals and starting on his way to the White House. But Carter didn't really win the most delegates. The uncommitted vote beat him by 10 percentage points.